is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hey, awesome. This is Bitter Comics. Hey, Will. Yeah, cool. Just join. Oh, you got to go?
Sounded great, okay. Kiddo.
Hey, thanks, man, for coming over to do the
you
intro.
You good to
again.
Drive?
You sure? I mean, you had a lot to drink. I mean, I've never seen anyone, you know, mainline Budweiser like that.
Oh, yeah, back streets. You'll be fine, kiddo.
All right. I'll see you later. Yeah, I'll get you the $5 next time. All right, cool. You know, what we really ought to do is just record something and then use the same one each week instead of making him come all the way over here by himself
every
week.
Yeah, that would be smart, but
it would make sense.
He needs something to do.
Yeah, he needs exercise and,
take his buzz on the road a little bit.
I think his dad wanted to get him out of the house so he and mom could have a little alone time anyway.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's cool. So, this is episode 67 of Bitter Comics. I am JT Foreman.
Welcome.
And I am here with my good friend, Nate the Snake Follin.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I've never heard that nickname before.
Really?
And I don't think it'll stick.
I can't imagine that you've never heard that nickname before.
You're
because
Jake the Snake Plumber.
Well, you've
Nate
never heard
the joke
about Nate the Snake?
I want to hear it. Let's hear it.
It's kind of long and lame. Let me finish the intro first, and then we'll get to that first. Well, it's episode 67. We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week. In which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. Now, this is episode 67 of Bitter Comics, so for my insensitivity in episode 66, I would like to apologize to black people, Republicans, Sylvester Stallone, weenies, and non-white conquerors. And you know what? I am using the wrong page from my notes. That is actually the apology from last episode.
I'd like to apologize for you.
So I want to apologize to intros.
Intros.
Okay, here's the right one. should I leave that,
so
or should I redo it?
Those people still get an apology or no?
They got an apology last week.
So they got two apologies.
Yeah, got two apologies. Extra apology. I'm extra sorry about that. All right, well, here, let me try this again. Should I delete that and do it over, or should I just leave it in there?
Let's go.
You know, it's natural. Leave it in.
Leave it in.
You know what? This is recorded live, you know, then, and that's what happens when you do a live show.
Do it live.
I'd like to apologize to, here we go. Black people, male porn stars, my great grandparents, and Brad Upton.
As a black male porn star, I accept your apology fully.
You're welcome. I appreciate your being so forgiving. I really do. Thank you.
You know, us in the industry.
Well, if you'd like to know specifically why I'm apologizing to each of these things, check out episode 66 and all our episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, go to that website. Scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or My Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, please put, "It's Festivus for the rest of us, so you can't go." I want to go, but it's for the rest of us. You know what Festivus is.
For the rest? Yeah, it's...
Yeah,
best holiday ever.
Yeah, Chris Dowdy has a festival every year.
Oh yeah,
based on the festival.
I missed it last year. Actually, I'll be there this year. If people are listening, go to Festivus December 7th at Fulton 55, 7:00 p.m. Be doing some comedy there.
Awesome.
About five bands. Kenny Thomas is doing comedy.
Cool. Kenny's funny.
Nate the Snake Follin will be there.
Snake Follin. That's right.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Sea of Sound, a few other bands. I can't remember, but
I don't think I'll be performing, but I'm going to be coming out just for immoral support.
There we go.
And I'm going to make up some grievances just so I have something to complain about.
Who are you going to wrestle is my question.
I have to wrestle someone if I have a grievance?
You fight until someone gives up, I think.
I'm going to start. I'm going to, you know, I would like intentionally start arguments with attractive women just to wrestle them.
There you go.
It's going to be embarrassing when they kick my ass.
They have to be, you know, angry at you and diehard fans of Seinfeld.
Okay.
To truly get into the Festivus mindset.
Well, I'll just start talking shit about everybody, and we'll be good. Well, Nate, thanks a lot for coming to do the podcast. I really appreciate it. Yeah. How you been? What's going on lately?
Oh, I've been good. Not a whole lot. Just finished my master's degree, actually. So I've just been kind of bumming around, turned into alcoholic around Fresno. Yeah.
You finished your master's degree?
I defended my thesis last week and got the signatures I needed to graduate from Fresno State.
So what is your master's degree?
Officially
in?
A biologist.
You're a master of biology.
Yeah, master of biology.
What was your...
you have questions about your body, get those answered.
What was your master's thesis on specifically?
It was on genetic markers for salt tolerance in poplar trees.
Salt tolerance in poplar trees.
Mm-hmm. Genetic markers for salt tolerance.
What happens is a lot of these poplar
trees can grow pretty much anywhere. They're quick growing, so you can get a lot of biomass from them. You can harvest multiple times per year. So they're looking into biofuels.
Harvest multiple times.
Is you can like just a chop them down. Just get bio material, and you can either burn it for fuel, burn it for energy. Like you were talking about the energy story, you can just burn it for energy, or you can just make. They make things like snowboards. Pulp wood.
So is the wood hard enough to be used for like construction and that kind of thing?
It's nothing special. It's not great wood. I've seen great wood before.
It's wood. It grows fast.
I've seen good wood. It makes snowboard. You know. But anyways, it can grow anywhere. So there's tons of land, especially in California, with like high salt contents that people just don't grow anything on. So finding the right poplar and the right genes that'll allow it to grow in the salt will open up a lot of acres of usable farmland and biomaterial.
So you're like a genius and stuff, and we never knew.
You didn't know?
No, I had no idea.
I thought
that
was
were
common knowledge.
I didn't know you were intelligent. I had no idea.
I try to hide it.
No, actually, you know what? Your material actually is very well thought out and very intelligent.
Thank
which
you. Likewise.
It's like, you know, I hear a joke from you, and I'll be like, God damn it, I should have thought of that. So,
like I always say, you're the first joke teller I've seen in Fresno.
Well, I'm not sure how to take that. I have chosen
the best possible way.
I've chosen to take that as a compliment.
Yeah, well, it is.
So thank you very much. What
first
made
and
you
best? How's that? I said first and best. There you go.
Well, thank you. What made you decide to do like biology? You just found it fascinating, or I could get a job doing this. Or
biology. Well, I had an undergrad in biology. I'd like kind of medicine, biology, sciences a little bit. I didn't want to do some like business thing where I'd have to work my way up a ladder. Do bullshit emails all day. So I wanted to learn a little something.
So now
about,
you're gonna,
life sciences, I thought was interesting.
So now you're going to spend the rest of your life just filling out a grant request for the NAEA, the
NSF grants,
National Association of Health, or
NIH. There we go.
National Institute of Health. So you're gonna spend the rest of your life filling out grant requests. To get money.
Maybe like fill it out once every 5 years and get a cool million, and then do it again.
So
I plan to just Google grant requests and then just fill in a couple different topics.
Is it your goal to one day win a Nobel Prize or an Ig Nobel Prize? Which would you rather have? You know what the Ig Nobel Prize
is? What is the
Ig?
No.
It's Ig Nobel Prizes are given out every year for strange research that people have done. Like one of them a couple years ago, I think it was a biology award, was given to someone who determined that yawning is not contagious against the red-footed tortoise. Because yawning is contagious among human beings.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you yawn, there's a much higher percentage chance that someone near you will yawn.
Right.
But apparently in the red-footed tortoise, it is not. And someone went and did a whole big old research study and found that out.
I don't think I'd want to win that award.
You wouldn't want the award for, my gosh.
You know, I'm not going to turn down a Nobel Prize. Obama's got one. Why shouldn't I?
That's true. He got the Nobel Peace Prize for being president for a week and a half and not having done anything yet. I thought that was awesome.
It was interesting.
Well, you know, nothing against Obama. Just he hadn't done shit yet. Yeah, I mean, he was still a couple months.
Yeah, into you try
his
living your entire
term.
Life being black.
No,
and
that's
then
not
tell
what
me
I mean. As far as world peace, he hadn't really done anything.
Okay,
yet.
All right.
And it certainly not compared to many people out there, like half the people in Iranian jails. But I don't understand that. That's not the worst Nobel Prize they gave out. The Nobel Peace Prize given out this year was actually just given to, quote, the people of Europe, Did you hear about that?
Wow, no, I did not.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of lame. Because, you know, the most lame thing about that is that there's like $1.5 million or something like that that goes. It's like Nobel, the guy who created the Nobel Prizes. He had a ton of money and he created this trust fund. And then each year when someone receives a Nobel Prize, they get all this money. And, you know, Obama said he was going to take the money and donate part of it to charity and then set the rest aside for his kids' college or something like that. But, you know,
what are the Europeans going to do with
that? Yeah, you're going to take $1.5 million and spread it amongst the 250 million people in Europe? I mean, that's like, here's your 12 cents. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Get a McDouble.
You know, get them. Everybody. For
being so
everyone
peaceful,
gets,
I guess.
Everyone gets a French fry and a half.
Yeah.
You know, put it toward Greece's debts or something.
Put it towards McDonald's. I think that's a safe bet.
Build a couple of new McDonald's and yeah, they'll be happy with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds, I mean, they're good people.
So you're all right. So you got your Nobel Prize, and are you gonna go into being a professional biologist, or you're just like
I don't know?
That was fun. That whole school thing and education was cool, neat. But I think I want to do comedy
once Hollywood gets their hand on the Bitter Podcast. Or yeah, Bitter Comics Pod.
Hey, who was that guest you had on episode 67?
Yeah,
you know the biology guy.
He's gonna be
guy.
A star. Yep,
he's gonna
I
be.
I feel
star.
Like my life will be changed.
It may very well be.
But no, I don't know right now. We'll see. Looking for a job. If you got any openings, let me know.
is there a lot of call for biologists in Fresno?
There's different grants. Like I'm not a huge Obama fan, but right now I'm looking for a job. So especially in Scholastics, there's a lot more money in it. So there's like Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation also puts a lot of money into it. So there's like year-long research projects that are going on in different areas, especially around the Bay Area. So they'll have the money to pay $50,000 for a year. And do a little.
Let's see if you can
get
you
a little bit of experience under your belt. Yeah, but
good luck
term,
with that.
Yeah,
you know, and honestly, I was accepted to CSU Northridge's film program. This was several years ago, and I actually chose not to go because I would have had to go $25,000 into debt, and I just I wasn't willing to borrow $25,000 to go to film school. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I look back and I wish I had, but have you ever looked at the rules on student loans?
You don't have to pay them back.
Yeah. You don't?
No.
I don't know where you got that idea from.
You don't really.
I mean, I've talked to people who borrowed $25,000 and now owe $300,000. And
really? Just because of
the
inflation?
They're like, the interest rates
interest rates.
And it's like any other kind of debt in the world, if you declare bankruptcy, you can get rid of other debts.
Mm-hmm.
But your student loan debt stays. Wow. You can't get rid of that.
Yeah.
Which, so it just is going to keep going up and... Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we're all in a good mood here.
I'm trying to depress you. You better get out there and find a job.
Not cut me down,
right,
JT. Just
that.
Cut me down.
All right. As far as comedy, what have you been doing lately?
Well, we got the Festivus thing coming up. I haven't done a whole lot too recently. I've went down over Halloween time to Hollywood and San Diego with Danny Minch, the blue comedian. So that was pretty fun. We did a couple shows there. The headliners were terrible, which only inspires me more.
Yeah,
I think. I don't know about you, but it really does inspire me to watch such terrible people get such decent gigs.
Yeah, I've gone down to L.A. for to go to shows at the Improv and the Hollywood and the Comedy Store and I watch the shows and I realize a part of this is just the arrogance of my own arrogance talking. But yeah. I think if you want to succeed in entertainment, you have to have at least a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a little bit more than just confidence.
Yeah.
You have to have some real faith in your own ability to fight against those kind of odds.
Yeah.
But
I think that's all the people in LA have. They get
that's
you're
true.
A star, you're unique, you're,
yeah,
you have
I'm
to be
star.
Loud and be
I'm
yourself.
A star.
And
I'm
everyone,
a star.
Everyone's a comic actor, model. Piece of shit.
Yeah.
They get up there and they say what they say, and they're not really jokes, but
it's
they're
like, yeah, it's
acting.
Like, go to karaoke night, and the girl who sings horribly but thinks that she's the greatest singer in the universe, multiply that confidence by about 50 times, and you have the average resident of Hollywood, California.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I went to one comedy show in New York, and it seemed a little opposite. It seemed more like the people had jokes there.
Yeah,
they weren't
yeah.
necessarily as full of themselves. They're a little more self-deprecating.
Yeah,
but
I was only in did one show in New York when I first got out of the Navy. This was back in '99 at Stand Up New York, and at that open, at, you know, at that show, it was everyone had good jokes, you know. And,
yeah.
And but you know, in LA at Hollywood at the open mic I went to, at the Comedy Store I went to a few open mics, and some weren't all that great, but
yeah,
I had a good time though.
Yeah, and cool Fresno, we have a good mix of everything pretty much around here. It seems like.
Well, hey, we're gonna take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman. We are here with Nate Fullen. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with my good friend Nate the Snake Fullen. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay, now I promised you guys the Nate the Snake joke earlier.
Yep.
So here we go. All right, so this guy, he's walking through the desert, right? And he sees this lever. And he's like, why is there a lever in the middle of the desert?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So he's about to reach it. He reaches over to grab the lever to pull it, and then he hears this loud booming voice, "Don't pull the lever." What was that? I don't see anything. So he goes and reaches to pull the lever again. He hears this loud booming voice, "Don't pull the lever." So he's like, "Well, all right, who's saying that? Who's there?" And this snake comes out and he says, "Hey, I was put here to guard the lever. You know, if the lever is pulled, it'll destroy the earth. And so I, for eternity, I guard this lever. So don't pull the lever." And the guy says, "Oh my gosh, it's a talking snake. We could make millions. We got to go on tour." And he says, "But Nate says, I can't. I got to guard the lever. If I leave, then the lever might, someone might pull it and the world will be destroyed." And the guy says, "Oh, no, it's no problem. We'll just put a sign on the lever that says, do not pull the lever. If you do, the earth will be destroyed. And then no one will pull the lever."
Yeah.
And so they put the sign on there, and they go out. They head out to Hollywood, and you know, they get some open mic time at the Comedy Store, and they go to the Improv. And Nate the Snake, and not only he's got jokes.
Oh damn!
Nate the Snake, just like you, Nate the Snake's got jokes.
I like this.
And
guy.
He becomes a big famous comedian, and he makes millions and millions of dollars. And then you know, his friend, you know, dies of old. You know, the friend who brought him out to the world, you know, passes away of old age, and he just doesn't have it in him anymore to do entertainment, but he's got tons of money now, so he decides he's going to move back to his lever. He's gonna build a house next to the lever, so he can go back to watching the lever to make sure no one pulls it.
Sure.
But see, since then a freeway has been built in.
Oh, okay.
And so he builds his house on the other side of the freeway from the lever.
Uh oh.
And one day he's you know, he gets up and he's crossing the freeway to go to the lever to, you know, to keep an eye on it for a while. And there's this truck barreling down the freeway, and he sees Nate, and he knows he's not going to be able to stop in time. If he turns right and he hits the lever, you know, because everyone knows about the lever now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nate's famous.
Yeah.
If he knows if he turns, swerves to the right, he'll hit the lever and the world will be destroyed. And if he swerves to the left, he's going to hit Nate's house and then he'll die. If he goes straight, he's going to run right over Nate. So he decides to go ahead and just go straight, and he runs right over Nate. And he says, "Well, better Nate than lever."
Yeah.
That was a really long way to go for a crappy pun, isn't it?
That made it better, I think. That's great.
Better Nate
Big
than lever.
Big payout there. I like it.
Yeah, you know, I think it was like 5 or 6 when I first heard that, or maybe 4 or something. And back then, I thought it was pretty immature.
It is pretty great.
Thank you very much. All right, so here we are, the 1st of December. Happy birthday, Mom. It's my mother's birthday.
Yeah,
so
happy birthday,
Mom. She lives in Seattle, so I'm not going to be able to go see her for her birthday. But you know, I wish her a happy birthday.
Me too.
I'm sure she appreciates that.
No problem.
We just passed Thanksgiving. It was, you know, week before Thursday. And how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was good.
What did you do?
I had my family in town, actually, my mother and my dad.
Oh, cool.
We went up to the coast, actually, San Francisco, which is fun.
Okay.
I threatened to take my parents to the Castro District. But
Castro District.
The notoriously gay district
of
San Francisco.
Yes, notoriously gay district.
You know, butt plugs aren't their things, though, so I don't think we
didn't
make...
They're not into butt plugs?
No, you know...
You know, you don't have to be gay to be into butt plugs.
Normally, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but in this case...
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and it's definitely not going to be shoved into any orifices, in this house.
So, no, we did the San Francisco thing, got some, I don't know, terrible Thanksgiving dinner at a really nice seafood restaurant. It was like straight out of a box. They're like, we have a Thanksgiving special today because it's Thanksgiving.
And it's like,
and yeah, like, this is not their specialty. Do not order this. You see them
throwing away the banquet.
Pretty much in the back.
The banquet TV dinner box.
My brother got it.
Buy for 88 cents at Winco or something.
He got it at about 4 p.m. Yeah. About 8 p.m. he projectile vomited on the side street in San Francisco in front of a bunch of people. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Real dark, just like a one big coughing puke. You ever had that?
Yeah.
It's like a... like you're coughing, sneezing, it just shoots out. And that was just all dark brown, almost black. So that was entertaining.
Not quite the the drinking puke. See, the drinking puke... And
that comes out of your nose, the drinking puke.
Yeah, the drinking puke can come out of your nose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be anything that shoots out of your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But the it is very much a different feeling also between the drinking puke and the food poisoning puke.
Oh, I don't have feelings when it's a drinking puke. I drink to get rid of feelings.
Well, the drinking puke, it's almost all liquid.
Oh, okay.
So it goes a lot easier, but then it shoots further.
That's true.
Whereas the food poisoning puke is chunky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the difference between chunky and creamy peanut butter. You know, so.
Yeah, it's true. Like a dry, chunky puke.
Yeah, the dry, chunky puke. And you know, that's
McDonald's. Like if I were to puke up my little sandwich here, I'm sure it would just be clumpy and dry.
Yeah, probably would be clumpy and dry.
I'm not sure if it's worth doing. I could get some sort of ignoble Peace Prize for maybe that. I really did a lot of research. Yeah,
several pieces.
Yeah.
All right, so San Francisco for Thanksgiving.
San Francisco with the family. It was fun. I don't know. What did you do?
Well, let's see. I got up at 9 in the morning and went over to my girlfriend's house. We made cupcakes. See, she had been between the things I was taking her to and the places her friend that had invited her to. She had 4 Thanksgiving events to go to.
Wow.
One at noon, one at 3, one at 5, and then one at 8.
Wow. Popular.
And she wanted to bring dessert to a few of them, so I made cupcakes for her to bring to them.
Oh, you're such a good girlfriend.
I am a good girlfriend. I am the best freaking girlfriend in the world.
Yeah. Brought the cup.
That's right.
JT brought cupcakes.
Yay. I like cupcakes. I like cookies.
How was it, though? Did you go to some of those?
I didn't go to the first one that she went to. It was a friend of hers from work. And it was... she's Filipino, so all of her friends are Filipino. And they cook everything Filipino.
It's kind of racist just to say
which
that.
Which is... No, that's the nation is the problem, the race, really. Because as a race, they're fine. You know, you just got to get them to America and wait 2 or 3 generations, and then they're all right. It's just when they first get here and they want you to feed you the same stuff that they were eating when they were in the Philippines, that it's a problem.
Yeah. I can see that,
I'll apologize to Filipino food next week. But she goes to that first one. You know, after we made the cupcakes, I went home. And I come back over to her place at about 2:45, and then we're supposed to leave to go to the next Thanksgiving party. And she's like, well, I brought some leftovers from the first one I went to. Why don't you have some? And I'm like, we're going to go eat in just a few minutes. I don't want to eat this now. Yeah. I mean, this is leftovers and it's cold. Was the stuff we're going to have over there is fresh and it's just cooked. It's going to be better. No, have some. And no, I don't want any. Come have some. And, all right, fine. So I had a little bit.
What is Filipino food anyways? Like,
it's just, I don't know. Adobo.
Kimchi, orange chicken. I'm just going
to
scatter that entire area and just hopefully hit
something. I'm not sure what it is. Roast pig.
Dogs.
You know, they don't remove it. They'll gut the pig, but they leave the head on. And it's just weird. Food shouldn't look at you. As far as I'm concerned,
you know.
And then she starts asking me to do all of these little chores, and she insists that she has to wash these dishes before we leave. And she's like, "Yeah, can you go put those bulbs on the Christmas tree? And oh, can you check the lights out front before we go? Oh, can you do this and can you do that?" And I was after 3 or 4 of these little tasks, I was like, "All right, stop. Turn the water off. Stop doing the dishes. Stop. Look at me."
Yeah.
If you don't want to go, we don't have to go. You don't have to make up a whole bunch of goofy stuff for me to do.
JT, cut to waste straight time. To the chase.
You don't have to make me eat so that you won't have to feel guilty that I'm hungry and want. If you don't want to go, just say you don't want to go. And then she smiled, looked at me and says, "I don't want to go."
Oh, that's nice.
And I said, "Okay."
Then she said it in her language?
No, she said it in English.
I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't know what she was saying if she said anything in her language.
No. What is it? Is it its own language, huh? Filipino?
Tagalog, I believe, is what the language is called. And tiki means penis, I think. I don't remember. She's told me a few words, and I don't remember what they all
are.
There's
a story behind that.
And fidu didu is a word she made up to insult my shoes. I thought it was a Filipino word, and I went and looked it up, and it's not. It doesn't mean anything.
That's funny.
She made it up just so she would have something insulting to call my shoes.
Oh, you know, she got the best of you there. You were looking it up for probably at least a half hour.
Yeah, I did. It took a long time. I was like, well, maybe I have it spelled wrong, and I tried, like, several different spellings of it. Actually, like,
could have bought new shoes in that time.
Fidu Didu is the name of a clown character that's in a Sprite commercial in the Philippines. Wow. And so, yeah, that's really I'm getting a cultural reference.
Yeah,
from the Philippines. So actually,
well,
I'm
the clown have good shoes or not really?
Well, he's got clown shoes. You know, big old floppy kind of.
So and, great shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I wear steel-toed shoes all the time. Okay. So, and she doesn't like them because they're ghetto.
Well, yeah, if you catch one of the ribs, it hurts a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know your relationship.
It's exactly.
I know
hey,
people
she,
like
she
you,
she beats
JT.
Me. I have to be able to defend myself, all right?
She kicks you in the feet.
Exactly. So we didn't go to we weren't going to go to the second thing at 3 o'clock, and then it gets to 3:30, and her mother was guilting her into it. It's like, but you said you were going to go, and you know they're expecting you, and you promised you were going to, and you need to go and keep your word. And
yeah.
So all right, fine. So we ended up going there and eating again,
watching a lot of football.
No. Actually, on the TV, she was talking to all of her friends in Tagalog. And then so I get up and I go in the living room and watch TV.
Oh, there you go.
Because I don't speak Tagalog. And well, you know, later on,
maybe that's
like,
because you get up and watch TV when they're trying to teach you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was funny because later on she was like, how come you left the room when we were talking? It was because you're all speaking in Tagalog. You know I don't speak Tagalog, right?
Nothing pisses me off more when two people speak a different language in front of me. It really... No, it
yeah.
pisses me off. I think it's rude.
Yeah, well, you know, it was like a group of six or seven of them. And, you know, they're all talking in their native language. And it's like, well, okay, I can't communicate. I can sit here and smile like an idiot and watch.
You can use, you know, nonverbal. You could just flick them all off and walk in the other room.
Yeah, stick my tongue out.
Yeah, do the blowjob sign. That's international. Yep. JT's now doing the voice, the sounds, everything.
You know. This, you have to keep your
I know
mouth.
I didn't have to put my penis in your mouth, but it made the sound a little more accurate.
You know, it's about the realism. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't see what we're doing, so that it's important that that makes it even more important that we get the sound right.
Exactly.
Exactly. So anyway, we're there, and then I guess about 5:30 or 5:45, we get over to my dad's house to have my dad makes a turkey every year, even if no one is showing up. And you know, all of my brothers and sisters live up in Seattle and Idaho and Missouri. So you know, the only people in the area of his family is me, basically.
Oh, okay.
So we went over to my dad's house and they had turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy again.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And then at about 8 o'clock, we went over to Danny Minch's place. That was just for dessert, though. He invited me to come over for dessert.
I've heard that before.
And
he's always drunk texting me to come over for some dessert.
Oh, yeah.
I try to avoid it as much as possible. Yeah. How was it?
It was fine. I mean, I made a chocolate cream pie, by which I mean I purchased an Oreo cookie crust and a box of instant pudding, instant chocolate pudding. That's and I perfect. Made the pudding and I put it in there. But one thing I didn't realize.
Do you even cook that or you just?
No, I use the instant. Why would? Yeah, that's something I got to say. That's one of the stupidest things
is
I've ever seen.
Is it a pie if it doesn't come out of the
life.
Oven or not?
No, it doesn't matter. It's the shape of a pie, so I'm calling it a pie.
Okay.
But the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life is at the grocery store, you walk down the aisle where the Jell-O pudding is. And on a shelf, you'll see instant Jell-O pudding, and the shelf above it is the cook pudding. It's Jell-O brand, and that pudding you have to cook. What
must
possess
taste,
you to buy the pudding you have to cook when the instant pudding is sitting right underneath it?
If you got a good oven? I don't know.
It's like, really?
You want to keep your wife in line.
Yeah. You don't want to make things too easy for her.
Yeah, it must taste better. It has to.
I don't know. I've never tried
it. It has to taste better. If it doesn't taste better,
I don't know.
It makes zero sense.
But one thing I did discover is that if you're making the pudding for use as a pie filling, you have to use less milk. And I use the pudding amount of milk instead of the pie amount of milk. So it came out as chocolate pie soup. It's more like a pot pie, I guess. But
that's unforgivable.
It was still good, though. So. Anyway, we're going to take a break again real quick. I am JT Foreman here with Nate Fallon. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. We'll be right back.
Blech. There we go.
This is JT Foreman. I am here with Nate Fallon. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, let's do some news stories here. All right. When I was in Las Vegas with my girlfriend, this is many months ago.
Is this news?
Yeah, it's news that I have. He has a girlfriend. Yeah. A woman has touched his penis once.
Uh oh. Okay, you had to specify a woman.
She's gonna kick my ass. I better not. There's crap. It's not here. Well, shit. Okay, she has a Louis Vuitton bag. That's the designer bag that she owns. And we went to see Thunder from Down Under. And she wanted to see it, and
you know what that is, don't you?
Yes, I do now. it would be male strippers, is what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, after the show, you can pay $20 to get your picture taken with the guys. And she wanted to get her picture taken, so she goes, waits in line, and finds out, oh, you have to pay cash. They don't take credit. So she comes back to me. I don't have any cash. Can I have $20 to get my picture taken with Thunder from Down Under? And I'm like,
wow,
seriously, really?
That is a test.
So I give her the $20, and she says, okay, cool, I'll be right back. And she goes to get in line again. And this other girl who's sitting there says to me, you know, she's not coming back, right? And I pick up my girlfriend's Louis Vuitton bag, and I say, I have her designer bag. She'll be back.
That's true.
And, of course, she did come back.
Were your balls in that bag, too? Or?
No, my balls were not in that bag.
Your dignity?
But they probably should have been.
Might as well have been.
Yeah, might as well have been. But, you know, here's the weirdest thing about it is we're in Las Vegas for 4 nights. And you'd think that the nights that we go to see the male strippers, she would be all worked up.
Yeah, all hot and bothered.
That's the one night we did not do it.
That's unbelievable. Well, you didn't do it. She might have gotten a little.
She just doesn't need me anymore at that point. Who knows? It's like, well, you know, I had enough.
Did you get her back and take her to, you know, Spearmint Rhino or something
that? No, I'm not. I didn't. You know what? I don't like going to strip clubs for the same reason I don't like to go to the mall. I'm just not into window shopping. You know, if I can't, you know, buy it and take it home, I'm just not interested. It's like the strip club here in Clovis, City Lights.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of a nasty strip club, though. I mean,
been over there.
Yeah, it's, you know, the girls there are not the greatest quality. There was one girl her tits had appendix scars. It was disgusting.
Yikes.
It's like, wow, somebody messed up a surgery there. I gotta find something real quick for us to talk about here.
Okay.
But I need to pause this. We'll be right back. Okay, sorry about that. Now, she has one designer bag, and it is a Louis Vuitton bag. So I started wondering, well,
I was wondering about this. I was like, get back to the designer bag.
That's right. What other kinds of things?
Sound does a dog make?
Is the Louis Vuitton logo on? And
what sound does a dog make?
We have here strange things with the Louis Vuitton logo.
What sound does a cat make?
I found a picture here. It's a garbage bag with Louis Vuitton logo on it.
What sound designer garbage does a dog make?
If you're a baller, you're a baller.
That's right. Wait, a baller?
Yeah, like a shot
caller. What sound does a cat make?
Isn't that a word?
I think that's a word, but it doesn't that refer to a guy who's all fancy?
Oh,
stuff,
this is for girls? Trash bags, the Louis Vuitton?
Well, you know, I think anything that with Louis Vuitton is for girls.
I guess just, so.
Yeah. All right, God damn it. Okay, now I'm prepared. We're ready. So on BuzzFeed.com, there's 35 things that shouldn't be Louis Vuitton monogrammed. Of course, you have the pumpkins, rolling papers.
Wow.
Yeah, your designer joint, I guess. Someone I make up, there's a person here who drew sunglasses on his face.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, with the Louis Vuitton logo on there.
Oh, of course, if you're going to draw it on there.
Because you got trash bags, a Rolls Royce. Here's a picture of I think this is a Honda Civic, but I'm not sure. You know, basically, you shouldn't.
Who put likes? Louis Vuitton. I mean, besides your girlfriend, who likes Louis Vuitton? Is it like a status thing?
Yeah,
are they real expensive?
Something that Bobby Williams once told me is that if a woman has only one designer bag, it'll be a Louis Vuitton bag.
Okay,
it's like that's the main. Now, if a woman has more than one designer bag, she might have others.
Okay, but
if they only have one, they'll have Louis Vuitton.
Well, you can get cheap. You should just buy her a cheap one for Christmas.
I should get her some of these Louis Vuitton condoms.
Oh yeah,
they got condoms.
Yeah,
pigs. Someone tattooed the Louis Vuitton logo all over their pigs. Louis Vuitton cakes.
You know, this reminds
pies, toast.
They used to send. I don't think it was Louis Vuitton. It might have been. A different company, but Chanel or something like that, they would send Snooki products from a different competitor. So competing name okay. brand, just because they did not want Snooki holding a Louis Vuitton bag, so they'd send her a bunch of Chanel stuff. So she'd be wearing or using Chanel, and it just ruin the entire.
That's funny. We don't want you associated with our products.
So she'd be getting these things and thinking they're from the company when in reality they're from a completely different company.
Louis Vuitton would send her a Chanel bag.
Diabolical and ingenious. So
we don't want anyone associating Snooki. Well, anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes to this list of the 35 pictures. It kind of. I like this one, the hijab. You know, the headscarf thing that Muslim women have to wear because their men can't control their animalistic lust when a woman is around.
Yep.
Yeah, so the a hijab that's got the Louis Vuitton logo on. There's a person, his moped.
Wow.
He put the Louis Vuitton logo all over it. An assault rifle, that's fun.
That's...
It's AK-47LV.
That's not a good way to die. I would not want to get shot.
I would rather not get shot. You know, if you want to shoot me, fine. But not with the Louis Vuitton gun.
Yeah, shoot me with like a, you know, Urban Outfitters, something like that.
Yeah, at least it's like...
Don't go all crazy.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on with some more interesting news. New York City just had an entire day with no violence.
That is unbelievable.
They actually went 24 hours without a single violent crime.
My only question is, what does this have to do with Louis Vuitton bags?
I don't know.
And did we really just transition off
Louis Vuitton to
New York? I thought we were going to do another 2.5 hours in Louis Vuitton bags.
You know what?
Unfortunately.
It seemed funny when I first found it, but as we were doing it, I was like, yeah, this is pretty freaking lame. Let's move on.
I learned something.
Yeah? What did you learn?
That talking about Louis Vuitton bags gets a little tiring.
Really freaking boring real fast.
New York City, I'm impressed.
Yeah, they actually went 24 hours without a single murder, assault, or...
You know what's interesting? Have you read the book Freakonomics?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I saw the documentary. I haven't read the book.
Yeah, did they do the whole Roe v. Wade breakdown analysis?
Yeah.
Kind of a...
Yeah. You know, as of about 18 years after Roe v. Wade, the crime rate dropped dramatically.
And New York City was... hailing the police as great, great officers.
Oh, look what a great job the cops are doing. No, really actually, it's because people are aborting all the kids that would have been committing the crime.
Meanwhile, all the little criminals are chopped up in a shop vac someplace.
Oh, yeah.
Rotting for the last 18 years, which is kind of a feel-good story. But it was written better than that.
Yeah, of course. Slightly better.
A little more dignity. They did try to...
More dignity, but less entertaining.
Yeah, they did try to assign like a number of people that a fetus is worth or something like that. They're like, let's just say one fetus is worth 0.2 humans. So is that where it got a little insane.
How many people were murdered versus how many
fetuses, how many people survived?
How many people would have been murdered if the fetuses had survived?
Counted as 0.2, yeah.
How do you determine that a fetus is worth 0.2 of a person?
You know, I think it's just a rule of thumb.
You're a biologist. I would think that you would know that.
That's true. Rule of thumb, I think.
You know, now...
What has a fetus done for me lately is my question.
Now you've got a subject for your doctoral thesis.
That's true.
Hey. You know, because, you know, you got to go for your doctorate. You got your master's, you got to go for your doctorate now,
What about twins in there? Because, you know, it's occupying, 9 months, but there's two of them in there, so maybe they're worth less.
It could be. You know, I think the more, economically, supply and demand, the more of something you have, the less each individual one is worth.
That's true. And then, you got stem cells, so they could be worth more as a fetus than they are as an actual little criminal.
You know, I had a friend who used to say that he would never be an, he would never put the organ donor thing on his driver's license.
Sure.
Because the last thing he wanted was to get to the hospital and find out that he was worth more parted out.
Yeah, I believe it. Now, they actually don't do much of those donate to science. It's kind of bullshit. Yeah. All they do is let you let your body go rot in some lab with an undergrad kid from India poking away at your body. Yeah, a lot of it's just cadavers, and they say, I donate to science, so I think I'm going to save a life. No, you're just going to go to some med school, and people will be poking at you, which is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like, great. I don't know. I can't imagine, like, people I love just being dead and poked at by undergraduates. You know what I mean?
You know, what if you're the student there? It's like Grandpa died 6 months ago, and you find out that he's your pop quiz.
Oh, just sliced in half.
It's like, you know who I feel really sorry for is the family of, you remember that supposed artwork piece, which was the cow that was cut up in the slices and then encased in the glass? Have you heard about that? Well, there's some modern artwork piece that somebody made where they take a cow and they cut it in slices, and they encase each one of those pieces in glass or something. All right. And then they put that up so you can see what the inside of the cow looks
cross
like.
Cross sections
also.
Of it.
You know, I wonder when if people have volunteered to have that done to their body when they die.
They have that. It's called Body Works, I think.
Yeah.
It's like a touring thing.
Yeah, how would you like to be a family member of one of those people?
It depends how I look.
I better at least get a discount on admission.
That's
true. I tell you that. This is my dad. I want the family discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my dad over on display. There. So I can't go to the funeral, or I can't go to the cemetery.
Oh, if he was touring, I'd piggyback that success. It's like, you're definitely worth more post-mortem.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, I don't think. Are you a donor?
No, I don't have the thing marked on the. You know, I don't take good enough care of myself anyway. You don't want any of my shit.
Yeah, I think I am a donor. Should look into that. I don't really care. Yeah. I wonder if you could just donate it to a friend.
Give it to a specific
UPS
person.
Just shows up and be like, he donated it to you, man.
Yeah, what was that movie? It's like, here's my kidney. And they're like, I don't need a kidney. Yep, sorry. He donated it to you. It's yours now. Deal with it.
Yeah. Stew.
What was that movie with Will Smith in it where he 7 pounds or something like that?
Don't ruin the ending. I tried to watch it.
I don't really care,
but yeah, someone ruined the ending for me. He's like calling around, just being an asshole to people, right? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
You have? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I saw the beginning. I'm like, wow, this movie is just Will Smith being an asshole.
Yeah, kind of.
And then it turns out that he's donating his body to these people or something?
Yeah, he's finding out if these people are worthy of his parts because he's planning on committing suicide.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
Yay.
How would he do it? What did he do? How did he commit suicide? Did he just eat some?
No, he got himself a jellyfish and filled the bathtub, got in the bathtub, and put the jellyfish in the bathtub with him.
Cardiac arrest or what? Okay.
And, you know, he called I think he called the cops just before he killed himself so they would get there right away. And, you know, how would you like to, I don't know exactly what sort of equipment they have inside the ambulance. But I can't imagine that they have jellyfish capturing equipment in the ambulance. So when you show up and there he is in the bathtub with a jellyfish and the jellyfish is like gnawing on him or something.
Meanwhile, he reaches in and kills like three EMTs.
EMT is like, oh, I guess let's get him out of here. Oh! And the jellyfish poisons him and he dies. And then bodies just start
just
piling
rot.
Up. And,
did you not donatable at all, and you just wasted the rest of his life being a dick.
Exactly. Hey, have you ever seen the movie Penn and Teller Get Killed?
No.
Oh, the ending of that movie is awesome. It's
I like Penn and Teller.
Well, toward the beginning of the movie, Penn Jillette says, "You know, I wish someone were trying to kill me. You know, it'd be like being a spy. You know, it'd be make my life really exciting."
That's true.
So during the course of the movie, Penn and Teller play these jokes on each other where, you know, someone's trying to kill you. Oh, just kidding. Ha ha. It's funny. And you get to the very end of it. And it's like, you know, they see the Penn is tricked into thinking that someone is stalking him.
Okay.
And Penn, you know, can't handle it anymore. And he, you know, in an accident in the guy's apartment, dies. And then Teller comes in and sees his best friend is dead and can't handle it and commits suicide. And then the guy who was hired as an actor to pretend he's stalking Penn Jillette comes in and says, oh my gosh, nobody's going to believe that I was just hired to pretend I was stalking these people. My life is over, and he kills himself. And then another person comes in the room. It's like Penn's wife or something. It's like, oh, I can't live anymore, and kills herself. And another person, and it's like more and more people keep coming in the room, and they see it for some 40 years on the force, and I can't handle this. And the cop kills himself, and it's like the camera just kind of starts floating away, and you hear gunshot after one gunshot, and then, oh, my gosh, bang, and oh, my gosh, bang.
You know, I think I saw this on Nickelodeon. Is it a cartoon?
No, live it was action? A cartoon. But, you know, the thing I really admired about that is that when I took a creative writing class, one of the first things the teacher said to us is never kill
a character. A lot of people kill themselves at the end.
No, never kill a character. It's lazy writing. And so they wrote this movie where, at the end, everybody commits suicide. So I really appreciated it.
Yeah, what's your teacher doing now?
Teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Penn Jillette
and Penn
and Teller have made a movie.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're going to take another break real quick. I'm JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Nate Fallon. We are the Bitter Comics, and
we're back.
Nate the Snake.
What else is new?
All right, well, let's see. Apparently, back in the 50s, the Air Force had a plan to nuke the moon.
Wow. That sounds like it's ambitious. I would start with the Middle East, and then I'd work my way to the moon, I think.
Yeah. Well, the project was called a Study of Lunar Research Flights, a.k.a. Project A-119, which if Project A-119 was to nuke the moon, I'd like to see what 118 was.
Yeah.
Or how about 120? Ooh, if you're, 119 is to nuke the moon, 120 is going to be some
serious
shit.
It's a need-to-know basis.
But, you know, apparently it was never implemented because of concerns over nuclear radiation on the moon and the public backlash. Yeah, you know what? I don't think the public would be too thrilled if you nuked the moon just for no reason.
It's, you know...
Why did you nuke the moon? Well, you know, we wanted to make sure the Russians didn't get there first, so we thought we'd just make the place uninhabitable.
Yeah, it'd be a good little fireworks show, though. Just look up in the sky. But... I don't know, it might affect the tides, things like that.
Yeah, probably.
Who knows?
That's my girlfriend. We're taking her to a movie later.
Yeah, we are.
All right.
Next, what are you going to see?
What are we going to see? We're going to see Looper.
Okay. Yeah. Looper, I hardly know her.
Yeah, Looper.
I heard that was good. I don't know. I don't know much about time travel movies. I either have to fully believe them or it's all bullshit.
Well, you know, from what I understand, there is a scene in the movie where they're talking about how could this be possible and what's happening. And after a couple of seconds, they're like, look, just stop thinking about it. You're just going to give yourself a headache.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole thing. It's like, you know what? It's you're not going to figure it out. Yeah. I mean, you know, the super scientists don't really know how it would work if it does work. So...
Well, what I've noticed in time travel flicks, it seems like men can travel through time just fine, but women do not travel through time very well. They don't stand up to it.
Why is
that? I don't know why. I think it's just a rule. They can't time travel. Like Marty McFly, no problem. Doc Brown, no problem. You've seen Back to the Futures. Second movie, they try to take his girlfriend. The second movie, she just passes the fuck out. They have to drag her around. She can't handle it.
Yeah.
There's even a movie called Time Traveler's Wife. Who she's just stuck and
yeah she's stuck. She's he like, needs to travel
he's
around
just doing his thing
but she's just stuck there.
I don't know. I think girls.
Yeah. I never saw the Time Traveler's Wife, but that just seemed kind of creepy because like the opening scene is when she's young, and I'm thinking, you know, that's his wife and she's six. That's disgusting. This is gross. Yeah,
grosser things have happened.
That's true.
You know, I think 6-year-olds are cuter than 80-year-olds, personally.
I have to agree with that. But which one is it legal to have sex with?
The wrong one.
Yeah, I know. It's 6-year-olds are much cuter than 8-year-olds.
Turn it Soylent Green, and we'll keep the young ones on the table.
On the table?
Old ones can be on the table if we're dissecting them. Yeah. The young ones... No, I don't want to bang a 6-year-old. I'll clear that up.
That's good to know.
Clear that up. But I'll... Yeah.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to completely write it off. It's a criminal activity.
We're not here to judge.
No.
We're here to ridicule, but we're not here to judge.
Perfect. All right.
let's see. Moving on. James Washington suffered a heart attack in prison in 2009 and thought he was dying.
See, that guy invented the peanut butter?
Yeah, I think that was him. So he made a jailhouse confession thinking he would... you know, escape. I don't know. It says in the article that he thought he would escape the statute of limitations, but I mean, there's no statute of limitations on murder. You know, he admitted to having beat someone to death in 1995.
Well,
you know, he thought he was dying from the heart attack, so he was like trying to clear his conscience, but he survived the heart attack. And then because he admitted to having beaten her to death, so he knew details about how the woman died, they were able to pin the murder on him, and he was convicted
of the crime. Well, you have to plead guilty to it, right, to get charged with it? So he should have been like, it was a joke, it was my
twisted... He admitted to to one of the guards that he did it. He says to him, yeah, you know, I'm dying, and there's something I have to get off my chest. In 1995, I beat this woman to death. And so, you know, he survived, but now he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail because he admitted to having committed this murder.
What a genius. You know, would you admit to that?
Would I admit to having beaten someone to death? I haven't yet.
Yeah. Neither have I. I like that laugh, too. That's a cue. I haven't yet.
Not yet.
No? All right. Well, wait till you have a couple KFCs. No,
absolutely
not.
You know. Actually, the only person you ever admit to committing a crime to is a Catholic priest, because he's not going to tell anyone because supposedly he'll go to hell.
Yeah,
you have to do it in the confessional. Anyone else, you can't tell. Don't tell anybody.
Well, I mean, like, even therapists, they can't. Like, they have to. They legally have to tell someone if they think you did something.
So if you actually did something you shouldn't have done, don't tell them.
Oh, yeah.
Just
die with it.
Yeah, just die with it. Just, you know what? They died with it. You can die with it.
Exactly. They.
All right, and our final news story for the day. Sweden has a problem. See, they have these power plants that are run on garbage. You know, you take the garbage and you burn it. Yeah. To generate electricity. You know, it's you know, you're still burning stuff to generate electricity, but now it's not filling a landfill. So this is that's a better use of trash than just putting it in a landfill and letting it build up, right?
For sure. Yeah.
But the problem is that Sweden is so good at recycling that they don't have enough usable trash for incineration.
Power
their power plants.
We all thought they were smart.
Yeah, I know. And so they've been importing trash from Norway and Finland.
These idiots importing trash.
Bulgaria, Romania, Italy. Yeah, they're importing their garbage from other countries.
We have to model our society after.
So they're importing trash now. That's just not thinking ahead. That's almost as dumb as building a nuclear power plant.
They probably pay about 90% taxes or 80% taxes over there.
I don't know. It's above
50. So if my money is going to importing trash, I think I'd have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But
there's got to be something else you can burn. How about the 80-year-olds?
Just burn. Yeah, exactly.
Burn the Soylent Green.
Yeah, two birds, one 80, one fire. The smell might. You know, they tried doing that in Germany a few years ago.
Yeah,
burning people and
they forgot to hook up the generators.
No kidding.
I mean, they had the fires going and they didn't plug it in. Exactly. What's wrong with you people?
I know they could have had endless energy.
I know. I mean, that's terrible.
Not a bad idea. Yeah. Well, maybe if we could time travel, we could figure something.
Out. You know, if we just remind them, hey, don't forget to plug it in.
I got
to
go stop Hitler and get someone that can know a little bit more about energy and reusable fuels.
Exactly. Right. You know what? Jews are a renewable resource.
They will not. They're like cockroaches. They will keep multiplying, and you can't get rid of them.
You know, I'm one quarter Jewish. I don't know what that means, though. I grew up in, you know, I didn't grow up in the cultural environment, so I have no idea what being Jewish means. Now, I've told you my thing about that, right? It's like, first time I ever saw a bagel, I was like, where's the frosting? And someone gave me some cream cheese. I'm like, cream cheese is bullshit. I can't believe I got Jewed on my donut.
You're quarter Jew. Yeah. That's a good mix of Jew. You don't want too much.
You don't want too much. You don't. It's just
a quarter doesn't make you sound really Jewy. Like, it doesn't sound money grabbing if you just say quarter.
It's not so much that anyone wants to kill me, but it's enough that I can take a couple of extra holidays off every year from work.
That's true. Yeah, you get to wear a little hat when you go bald.
Yay! On that note, Hey, thanks a lot for coming to do the podcast.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Do you have any shows coming up in the near future? Anything you want to plug?
The Fulton show, December 7th. It's called Festivus for the rest of us. I've got my Twitter feed at iPod Telephone, one word, and Nate Follin's the name. So yeah, go ahead.
Awesome. Yep, follow Nate Follin. I am JT Foreman. I have my Twitter is JTForeman72.
Okay.
And I will be probably going to the Festivus Festival. Good I won't times. Be performing at it, but I'm going to go for immoral support.
Yep, absolutely. Wouldn't have it any other way.
So, hey, thanks again for coming to do the show. Really appreciate it.
Fun times.
I'm JT Foreman. I'm here with Nate the Snake Follin. We are the Bitter Comics, and I'll talk to you next week.